Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Live from the Whiskey X weekend at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, John Taffer, Dan Dunn, mixologist Elaine Duff, and the owners of Frey Ranch. With Gina Grad on news and Paul Bryan on sound effects, and now this is reminding him of all the whiskey tastings he went to with his dad, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. The church big on mandate. Get it on. So we're sitting here in Las Vegas with the Cosmopolitan. We're out at the swimming pool. We're outdoors. The wind is blowing. It is a festive crowd. We got Gina. Oh, good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Paul Bryan.
I was going to say, we're not just in Vegas. We're at the Boulevard Pool. Like, we got the view of the whole strip.
It's a million-dollar view.
We're in a cabana. People pay lots of money for this.
They ordered up the perfect breeze. It's nighttime. It's amazing.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, it is gorgeous here. Gina was saying off the air, like, the weather is perfect. It is the perfect temperature. For I imagine if you're going to outer space and they're going to set the temperature for the shuttle, they'll go, this is the weather.
Yeah.
Very
right?
Pleasant.
Temperatureless, gentle breeze.
Right. Beautiful. All right. So, and you're not going to hear them here on this show, but Fits and the Tantrums are playing later out on the stage. We're drinking whiskeys. It's a little windy. My coffee just blew over. But that's okay. And where are my samples, Max Pat? I feel like I should have some whiskey.
We're
at
a whiskey conference. Convention.
Yeah, we're feeling a little thirsty. Feeling a little dry.
So we'll talk booze tonight, as you hear this, and we'll get into many other things as well. So first, Paul Bryan came early, started gambling.
That's right. You're right on both counts.
Yeah, right.
I mean, not super early. I got here at 10:45 or
last
something.
Last night.
That's right. Got in at 10:45 this morning. Got a pretty sweet. I don't know about you guys, but so this is nerdy. But this is a associated with like Marriott, right? And I'm a Marriott loyalty member.
Here we go.
So like I got an upgrade to the 57th floor. I don't know if you guys are.
Okay,
I'm
on the 57th floor.
Oh, damn it.
But, to be fair to you, I think I have Adam's room.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You have a nice room?
It's a perfectly fine room.
Yeah,
but it's
that's
not like
what
a double
I have.
Room. Yeah.
Perfectly fine room.
Yeah, I thought I was living large on the 57th floor. I guess not.
What are you playing?
I walk to the Aria because they are one of the best poker rooms in town. And I have not played poker in Vegas in 5 or 6 years at least. And I don't know about you, Adam. Are you this way where you're like, even if it's racing or maybe even comedy, but like you just like, even if you're not the best, you just want the competition. You want to see, like, measure yourself against the best. Like, the best players play there, so I wanted to go and, like, see how I could do. I didn't do well, but
I'm not that way.
I hung for a little bit.
No, I did.
I don't fancy myself a great poker player.
You should have gone to Fremont.
Let me see how long I can hang.
It's an interesting concept because I've done the Toyota Grand Prix, the Celebrity Grand Prix, 5 years. And the difference between you winning and you coming in fourth is who the competition is.
Totally.
Sure.
If there's fast guys, you're not going to win. And once in a while, it's just sort of luck of the draw, and you get Elaine Boozler in the car in front of you, and then you're going to beat her. Like, it is, well, you know, people don't really factor that into life, but it's like, if you get the slow people, you will win.
Right.
If you get the fast people, you're not going to win.
Right.
And so I'm the opposite of you. I do not want to challenge myself. I want the slow people.
Elaine Boozler was not sitting at my table. There was no Elaine Boozler. It was all a bunch of Travis Pastrana's. I don't know. Name a good racer.
Was it more Alfonso Ribeiro or Juan Osais?
Wait. A bunch of Adam Carollas.
Yeah. Good answer.
They're all good, and I lost some money. But it was fun. I hung for 2.5 hours.
Damn.
Yeah, there's definitely something to seeing how these people work and studying them a little bit and
totally.
Maybe gleaning something off of them. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if you want to walk out of there with the first place trophy or some cash in your pocket, You want the rubes.
Yeah.
You want the...
I dumped all the money to them.
Yes, I... So you're playing poker,
yeah.
Right? So
Straight up. It's
against each other.
Eight people at the table. Yeah, it was against each other.
How does the house get their money in the poker game?
It's called the rake.
Oh, the rake.
The rake, yeah. They take whatever it is, 1% to 5%, you know, of every hand. If it's a big hand, they'll take, you know, 10, 20 bucks or whatever it is, you know, and just put it in the hopper. And
I only know what that is because of Molly's game, that she wasn't supposed to be doing that.
She wants to be taking a rake.
You want to play poker against Wanda... No, you want to race against Wanda Sykes.
Right.
That's who you... Right. That's who you want.
For all I know, she's a good poker player.
Yeah, she may be fantastic, but you want to be on the racetrack with Wanda Sykes. So we're looking up at the side of the buildings. It's amazing because everyone talks about Las Vegas and they sort of go like, in the 40s, there was nothing. And then in the 60s, there was sort of everything.
Sure.
But I don't know when you guys came here for the first time. I would imagine I came here in the mid, late 80s. A lot has changed since then. So a lot of people sort of went change from the 40s to the 70s.
Right.
But pretty marked change from the 80s, 90s to now.
That's when the big explosion of like themed hotels came around in the 90s, right? Like that's when it was like Pirates of the Caribbean, as they say.
Right,
in
New York,
Swingers.
New York. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like you said, like it didn't get fancier than the Bellagio or the Venetian. And now like those are a little more of, let's say, the classic vintage.
A legacy hotel.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you hang around long enough, you can see how you just think about entertainment. So I wrote it down here somewhere. Where did I write that down? Anyway, Gwen Stefani's playing here. Lady Gaga's playing here.
God.
Billy Idol's playing here.
Yeah.
So,
Shania Twain, I'm looking right at her poster.
Shania Twain.
Rich Little.
Yeah. Come on, girls. We're going out.
But huge acts that, you know, demand a massive following.
So you think about sort of the arc of entertainment in Las Vegas. So at the beginning, it was, okay, let's have all the big acts.
Yeah.
Frank Sinatra and Elvis Presley and blah, blah, blah. Well, even sort of before Elvis Presley, but to have all these big acts. Then later on, it was, that's where acts go to die.
Sure, right.
Sure.
And it was sad.
A joke.
A comedian, a musical act,
right.
a band
a
or whatever. Yeah, it was like, you're going to go to Vegas. You're going to sell out. Like, it was sad. And now it's come full circle. Bands and people and performers and stand-ups and Jerry Seinfeld and everyone you've heard of is playing here now. And it's kind of interesting, you could probably just take Las Vegas and you could go, let's just use it as a sort of yardstick or metaphor for life, which is, TV. So back in the day, it was like, if you're an actor in movies, you would never go on TV.
Right.
That was a sad sellout,
Step backwards.
Step backwards. And maybe not only a step backwards, but a continuous slide.
Yeah.
Now you're the TV guy.
Right.
You'll never come back, blah, blah, blah. There doesn't seem to be rules anymore. There were a bunch of rules, and the rules in the mid-80s, there's no way a popular band could play Las Vegas without being made fun of and called a sellout and blah, blah, blah. Just the same way as an actor couldn't go do a TV series.
Right.
Or commercial.
Yeah. Perfect example. Commercials, like back in the day. Now it's just sort of like game on, entertainment's entertainment, TV's TV. Commercials are commercials. Go do whatever you want. Get paid. No one seems to care anymore.
Yeah, I think it feels like part of that side hustle, gig work mentality. Whether you're driving an Uber or doing a Lyft or doing a Vino spots, it's like, get your money, man.
And not only do people not care, I think it's expected now. If you're Britney Spears or Elton John, you know what I mean? Like, you got to play Vegas. You have to have a residency. You don't have a residency? What are you doing?
Well, speaking of that, sadly, Alec Baldwin, doing Match Game, right? Alec Baldwin is Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
He's one of the greatest character actors ever born. And then he does the corniest game show ever on network primetime, and no one really seems to care. But there's some interesting stuff with the Baldwin situation, which is Max Pata called me today and was telling me that who was it? Was it
Dave Hall?
Dave Hall, yeah. Right, so the first AD from Road Hard was the first AD on Rust, the movie, the guy who's being called out, and, you know.
The guy who said cold gun, basically.
Yeah, there's the 911 call and blah, blah. And he's a guy I've worked with. I worked with him a long time. Like, first off, when you make an independent film, you really work with people.
Right.
Like,
sure.
You're up in them for a long period of time, and it's all day, every day. And he worked with us for a long time. There's some interesting, weird artifacts here, for lack of a better term. He did the second Crow movie.
Oh, geez.
After,
no,
yeah, according to Chris. So he did the second Crow movie after Brandon Lee. Brandon Cruz was the Courtship of Eddie's Father, I
think. Can't help you with that.
Yes. Brandon Lee was shot, so he then did the movie after that.
Oh,
then he ended up at some point with us. We did Road Hard with him, and then at some point he ended up with Baldwin and this film. And I liked him. I got along with him. No problems. But it's interesting that there is that connection.
Crazy.
And is I don't know who said. I don't know who said this, but we're sort of talking about it. And it's like Baldwin, somebody said Baldwin the actor is not going to be in trouble for what he did on the set, but Baldwin the producer may be in trouble. But it's also, then they talked about, like, do they, you know, with the CGI and all the computers, do we need the muzzle flash and everything?
Do we need this?
Hold a banana.
Yeah,
right.
Do we need this antiquated technology?
Well, this was a pretty low-budget movie, as I understand. I don't know if that had something to do with it. The Armorer, I believe I read it was a young woman whose father was like a famous like guy in that arena, but there was an interview from her from not too long ago saying like she's pretty nervous about doing this. There was someone on Facebook said, I used to work with this team, and let me tell you what's going on. Somebody said that gun had been used earlier that day for, like, target practice, which it never should have happened. It seems like there was a lot of the right hand not knowing what the left is doing. The crew walked out that day because of unsafe work conditions.
It seems bizarre to, I mean, we're here, they're pouring the drinks, everyone's having a good time.
Party!
Woo!
Woo! It seems weird in terms of the live rounds.
Yes.
Like, it seems weird to go, like, we'll go to the bar. It's like, you got a dish of olives, right? And then you go, all right, we're making martinis, you can put an olive in it. Okay. And then over here is a dish of poison olives.
Oh.
But don't touch those.
They'll be near the olives. They're not next to them. That's absurd.
They're not going in to the martinis.
Right, we don't worry.
And it's like,
we have an olive overseer.
My feeling is kind of like, what are the poison olives doing behind the bar? Like, why are they here?
Right.
Why would you bring them here?
And is it enough just to say, these ones aren't poison?
Why even bring them?
I'm oversimplifying this. I'm sure someone's going to correct me, but it's like, why is there a bowl of poison olives? Like, why are they here? Why are they even near the bar? Why did they enter, like, the grounds of the casino, like, or the hotel? Like, why are they even here? Like, why is there a live round here?
Because allegedly someone used those for poison olive practice before the bar opened.
That's right.
All right, so I saw 007, speaking of olives and martinis.
I hope you liked it.
I did. I'm with you. It was kind of long.
Very long.
And, you know, James had feelings, which is kind of interesting because the allure of the original James Bond is he had no feelings.
Right. Yeah.
We were attracted to him because he made love to a woman and then just killed her and left, you know, whatever. Like, it was all, like, zero feelings. Yeah. he made love to a beautiful woman, that he would kill her, and he had no thoughts about it because she was she was bad.
She
was
if she could betray his secrets, by all means, she was, you know, next
to the slap. But he was vulnerable, and he was real, and okay, so be it. But I was, my whole life, so when I was a kid, like, I grew up on James Bond, shaken, not stirred. Sure. Like, when it was Martini, shaken, not stirred, and that was, again, I'd never seen my dad drink anything, much less a martini. And a martini, like, my dad would never drink a martini because it had, like, things and movement.
More than one step.
And
yeah.
things we would have to order
you
something.
You have to purchase way more expensive
no,
water.
No, but, like, I saw my grandfather drink a beer that he bought from Lucky's, which is now John's by your house, which was just called beer. Like, he literally...
Acme.
Like when people go,
he does Homer Simpson had a brand.
Yes. He like, do they like imported domestic, like IPAs? He like a stout? Like, no, he just beer. Like, he just drank beer.
Wow.
And he just drank beer or Lucky Lager, I think, on a on occasion, which was right next to beer. But either way, but shaken, not stirred. Shaken, not stirred. Now I've got a little older. I've drank a few martinis. I've never had to make the delineation between shaken and stirred.
Oh, really?
Yeah, could you tell?
I order a martini. They make you a martini. The guy's got the shaker.
It's called a shaker.
Look at him shaking. Chris is shaking his head.
He doesn't ask me.
No, it's true. They don't ask. You have to specify. Because the real mixologist way these days is to stir.
Stir.
Oh, really?
So James Bond should be saying stirred, not shaken.
But that's so funny you should ask, Gina. He is he's the rough around the edges. Bond was never, you know, initially refined. He was initially very rough around the edges, hence why he ordered the shaken, not stirred.
I see.
He did not order the refined martini.
Oh, I see. The refined. So now what was... The non-refined has become the norm because every time order a martini, they shake it. And what is stirred? Just a little less water, a little not as cool.
Less agitated.
Dan Dunn will claim that, yes, it gets less ice chips into the thing and it doesn't bruise the gin. First of all, nonsense. Secondly, what's wrong with ice chips? You're going to drink like a whiskey over ice. It melts a little bit. What's wrong with a little bit of water in your drink?
I concur.
If it's ice cold.
All right. So anyway, James Bond.
Sensitive.
In love with his... he had the girlfriend that was 25 years younger than
him.
Sure he did. Which, in a world where we're going after everything all the time and shaming and everything...
It feels antiquated.
There's this one thing that has stood the test of time, which is the dude... With the face that, looks like someone wrinkled up a ball of paper and then unwrinkled.
It's
like,
ruggedly handsome.
Ruggedly handsome.
Oh, is that what you guys call it?
Well, I don't know.
Max, am I ruggedly handsome, Brian?
Thankfully, no.
Max Bata has a computer. Like, the actress that played his girlfriend was 25 and he was 51. Like, there's a pretty big... Pretty big gap there, either way, shaken, no.
Okay.
Shaken, not stirred.
Now, how would you have
stirred,
felt
sorry.
If sensitive James Bond's girlfriend was Helen Mirren? Judy Dench.
It's true. Look, here's what we have to understand. There are certain things that women bring to the table and certain things that men bring to the table. And we're going to have to just sign off. Yes. We're going to have to kind of... Sign off on those things.
His daughter is very fetching.
Yeah, we're looking at him now. I mean, she's got to be 25 years younger. All right, so I think what we're going to do is we're going to bring in Colby and Ashley Frey, who make themselves whiskey. I'm going to drink some. We're going to bid adieu to you guys, and then we're going to bring you guys back. We'll do some news. We'll bring in Dan Dunn. We'll talk whiskey, and we'll do all that. So you guys will swap places with Colby and Ashley, and I'll pull out a piece of paper here and figure this out. Just when these guys are sitting down, I'm just going to talk to you people. Oh, John Taffer's here. I heard the word sex worker the other day. I don't know if I like it. I'd rather hear the word prostitute, whore.
Hooker.
Concubine. Hooker. Sex worker. Dawson, you don't have any kids, right?
Zero.
All right. Would you rather your daughter be a prostitute or a sex worker?
You know, I'm going to have to go straight hoe.
You're going hoe?
I'm going
okay.
Hoe.
All right.
That's the way
all right.
Go.
Colby and Ashley are both here. They make whiskey. They're pouring me some. Unfortunately, it's a little windy here, so some of the booze is blowing over. But I'm enjoying this. I love the fact that you guys met and you both love whiskey.
Right.
Because we did not factor in this wind, did we, Max Bata? It is breezy up here. I talked to you guys downstairs with Dan Dunn. Good to speak to you again. I know you guys are out of Nevada. I think your family farm predates Nevada becoming a state, 1853, 63?
1854. Good. You're close.
54, and that's drinking. You should see me when I'm sober. And it was like 10 years later became a state?
Yep. Nevada became a state in 1864.
So how much acreage did your great-grandfather own?
You know, they owned the first deeded property in Nevada.
The first deeded property.
Yeah, there was eight people they were granted all at the same time, and he was one of them.
And so he had himself some acreage over there.
Yep.
He was a farmer. He was a farmer in Nevada, but not this kind of Nevada, right? Like this super dry, arid Nevada?
Yeah, so we're in northern Nevada, kind of right at the base of Lake Tahoe. So we get all that nice Tahoe, we call it Sierra Snowmelt, to irrigate all of our crops on our farm. And we're in Fallon, Nevada, which is considered the oasis of Nevada.
And what was your great-granddaddy growing over there?
Anything that he could. And so they did a lot with the Virginia City Gold Rush, which then became the silver. There was a lot of silver, and that's why we became the silver state, and they fed the gold miners up there.
God, I couldn't imagine a tougher life than farming, especially back then. Like, even now, it's a little mechanized and blah, 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 but it sounds like the world's toughest job.
Yeah, it is so much work, and even today, but we're so lucky. We have huge equipment. I was just last night. I got done at about 8:30 at night, and but I'm on a big tractor with air conditioning and heated seats and a radio. And those guys back then had horses, and I mean, they were getting maybe 1% of the work done a day that we're getting done with these big machines in luxury. But it's still a lot of work what we do, and a lot of repairs and maintenance and things that we got to overcome as farmers.
So did you, obviously family member, obviously part of the lineage, inherited the acreage, but at some point you switch it over, right? Yeah. You're like, let's go with the grain instead of garbanzo beans.
You know, most farmers have to have a second job just to continue to be farmers. It's such a hard, and there's such low margins. And so our goal is to pass the farm on to our kids in as good or better condition than we received it in. And so we're trying to, vertically integrate it and give our kids something that we can pass on to them.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because you think about passing things on, you think about a legacy, right? So it's like, I'm a dad, I have kids, I have some warehouses, I have some Paul Newman race cars, I have some interesting race cars, and I have some sort of thoughts about, maybe the kids will want the race cars, or they should have the race cars, or hopefully they keep the race cars. But the farm is like much more intimate than the other shit that people are talking about passing on. Because like people have a ranch house in Reseda, and they're like, I'd like to pass this on to my kids. But it's like, it's okay, but someone else lived there first, and then they pass on their kids, and then you bought it in 1987, and now it doesn't have that kind of intimacy. I guess the farm sort of has that intimacy, right?
It does, and you see all the hard work that past generations have done. My father and grandfather have done so much work on it, and it's so neat to go and see all the work that they did and then to improve on it and be able to pass it on to my kids, and hopefully they'll want a farm. If not,
good luck getting your lazy ass kids to do shit on the farm. My kids can't walk in the fucking bathroom without yelling for the nanny to carry them. I don't know how they're passing on to the farm is going to work. Kids are so goddamn shiftless and lazy these days. I don't know there's enough automation or air conditioning to ever pass something on to kids. But maybe you've broken your kids down. Maybe you did it. I've done a horrible job with my kids. I'm going to be honest with you. They're worthless. But your kids, maybe they're worth something. Maybe they're good on the farm.
It's in our blood. I swear, my little boy, he just wants to work with me all day. Last night he was with me until 8 o'clock at night, helping
Holy
me hook up the tractors and everything. Just wants to help.
Well, should we taste this fine whiskey offering you brought us?
Yes. So it's a bourbon, 90 proof, 4 grains, wheat, rye, barley, and corn that are all grown right on our farm. So we grow 100% of the ingredients right there.
Who else does this? Does anyone else grow their...
I don't know.
And grain? And
there might be a few farms that grow one or two of the grains, but not... This is a 4-grain bourbon. We malt the barley on site. We have total control. Our trademark is called From Ground to Glass. We have total control from the ground to the glass.
It is good. I got to tell you. It is... I drank some with Dan Dunn in the bar, you know, earlier in the night. And it was good then. It's good now.
Thank you.
And so... For you guys, were you like, I mean, was whiskey the thing, or was it like we're going to grow stuff and sell it to people and then the transition?
You know, for us, it was a way to, we knew that our grains were really high quality, and we thought, what's the best way to showcase our crops? And we thought, what better way to do that than to make it into whiskey? And so we take our crops and we create something that we can share with people like you, and that's what's really fun for me. And there's a lot in every bottle. There's a lot of me and our team in every bottle.
And actually, none of the ingredients have ever left our possession until we bring the whiskey here or sell it to customers out of our tasting room.
So it's all in-house. It's all, you know, you're like the, I was going to say like the Oscars, where they have the Price Waterhouse, is that what it's called? The briefcase and everything? But I was at the Oscars where they fucked that thing up. So, but I mean, it's always in your view, right?
So
it's, yeah, I'm tasting some now. It's delectable. You guys should, it's fortuitous that you guys both love whiskey so much and figured out a way to meet each other and hang out together.
Yeah, and it's very approachable at 90 proof, and I love that you can really taste all 4 of the grains that we grew on the farm and then distilled, fermented, and bottled.
All right, so we got, what do we got? We got John Taffer here. Let me give you guys a plug. This stuff is really good. I mean, there's a lot of choices out there. And a lot of them are good, but I'm going to say this one is better. That's freyranch.com. That's R-F-E-Y. Oh, sorry. F-R-E-Y. F-R-E-Y. Probably had a little too much of it. F-R-E-Y ranch.com. I can't really blame the wind on that one. That was on me. All right. Thanks, you guys, for coming by and saying hi and drinking
cheers.
Off your own supply.
Yeah, cheers. Have a great night. Thank you, sir.
I shall. All right, so we're going to get Elaine Duff. She's a mixologist in here, and I'm going to ask her why the fuck there's no lemons or limes on any airplanes, and why I was at a movie theater last night, Max Pata, and no lemons or limes. Like I went.
We're about to find out.
Oh, my God. I'm about to go on a killing spree. So we'll bring her in a second. I am looking down on my piece of paper here. So we have Elaine Duff and John Hollitz. Am I saying that right?
You got it.
Coming in here. So let's talk about your official particular. So Elaine, brag about yourself for 15 seconds.
So I've been in the liquor industry for 20 years. I've worked for the largest drinking company, Diageo, for 15, working as their head mixologist, their first ever head mixologist in the United States. So I'm a spirits expert, a mixologist, and a consultant.
John, brag about yourself for 15
Oh, wow.
Seconds.
Well, Bird Dog Whiskey, we've been around since 2009, and we're the leading, most awarded flavored whiskey. I've been with the company since 2009, the inception. we're out here to have a good time, and that's what we do. Bird Dog Whiskey, we're flavored whiskey, so, you know, a lot of the purists looking for the traditional, we're a little bit different. We try to keep the party rolling.
So, Lane, I'm going nuts because I can't get lemon or lime. Nothing in the air. There's no first-class lemon or lime anymore. It's, COVID, you know, like, we can't have...
Yeah, there is no limit. Like, literally, there's nobody working at the docks of bringing you your lemon and lime. You're going to have to start growing them yourself.
You know, it was funny. Somebody said to me the other day, I was doing some TV show, and they said, one of the news stories was there's a cruise, and I'll screw up the time, but it was like there's a cruise that's going around the world for 267 days or something like that. And they said, imagine being at sea for 267 days. And I said, there's a bunch of guys at Long Beach that have been in container ships for 267 days. It's no big whoop anymore.
No.
They left China 11 months ago. They're still at sea. But all right, that aside. So I've been going nuts because I fly Delta, and I'm always like, give me vodka, soda water, and lemon. Like, we don't have any lemon because of COVID. All right, because of COVID. Like, it's like saying, I can't wear socks. Why? Because of COVID.
Because
like,
of COVID.
Oh, yeah,
and
I
that's
get it.
Bull. And I will say that's just them not wanting to give us any fruit because it's going to spread the virus if you have a garnish. Like,
right.
How is that a thing?
Citrus garnish is going to spread the virus. But I went to a movie theater. I went to one of those highfalutin movie theaters last night. The ones with the bar. And I was like, all right, give me vodka, soda water, and lemon. Like, we don't have any. So it's like, this is hit the ground at this point?
Wait, did he have any limes either?
No lemon, no lime. But maybe you can answer me this.
Yes.
Because it's been vexing me and my audience for at least a decade, which is I order, so my skinny drink. You know, when I want to get fat, I drink an IPA. When I want to get skinny, I get the vodka, soda water, and lemon.
Yes.
That's my skinny drink. When I order it, they give me a vodka, soda water, and lime. And I'm like, I said lemon. And they're like, we have limes. I go get a lemon. But the point is why are they doing this continuously?
Like, they've just been trained because almost every classic, a gin and tonic has a lime. Like, they're just trained.
Is
like,
that what it is?
It is. It's like literally it's in every bar book, every training. It's like the classic garnish for a highball is a lime.
Are limes cheaper than lemons?
No, I don't know.
Do they last longer than lemons? Like, why?
I don't know why. And I like a lemon in my drink too. And you do have to emphasize it. And I one time, if you're in Miami and people don't speak, not always, like, if English is not your first language, and I didn't realize limon was lime, like, so I have to remember to ask for the yellow ones, not the green ones, because I got 50 gallons of limes.
Well, it's interesting, because I ordered a drink here tonight, because somebody told me, do it this way. I said, give me a vodka, soda water, and lemon. Yellow.
Yeah, yellow.
And I was like trying to implant something in the mind of a retarded person who served drinks.
You have to emphasize the color because you will get a lime. Just say the yellow garnish.
Have you tried the packets of lemon or lime?
Yeah. I have them reconstituted or dehydrated or dehydrated.
It's like the downfall of society right
now. Somebody... People have heard me complain about it. So my life is I complain about shit so much, and eventually people hand me stuff and go, shut up. You've been complaining about this shit for so long here. And I traveled with lime, a reconstituted, like, powdered lime. But I brought myself some actual liquid lemon in a squeeze container. And I was flying first class to Nashville. And Chris over here was right behind me, and I handed him the powdered lime, and I took the fresh lemon and squeezed it into my drink because it's impossible to fly anymore with cut up pieces of fruit.
Yep, might spread something over that garnish.
Well, let's talk about drinks because I have this theme. Maybe I started off tonight talking about Vegas and about how. all the greats played here back in the day, the 50s and the 60s, you know, Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. and all that Rat Packy stuff, but all the greats played here. And then when I was, like, in high school, it's the place you came to die. Like, it was weird. Who's going to sell out, play Vegas? You know, that's for your grandparents. Like, it was all fucked up, right? And now it's kind of cool again. You can play Vegas. And I feel the same thing has happened with booze. Like, it was like gin, nobody drank gin. Gin was a weird drink, you know, your grandparents drank. And then it sort of came back. Whiskey's a little bit that way. You know, it was like vodka, maybe tequila, then tequila, like, switch around from clear to gold and then back to clear again. But it's kind of interesting to me how these, you know, rye whiskey was like weird novelty, who knows, I don't care, drink, you know, 15 years ago. Now people like rye.
Absolutely.
You know,
it's like,
so big.
What's the cycle? Gin and rye, you know, gin and rye circa 2000 was non-existent. Now it's like, it's cool, it's hip, it's trendy.
People are drinking whiskey, and I will say, like, flavored whiskey, like, speaking of, like, Bird Dog, like, flavored whiskey has become a thing because there's so many people who are afraid to get into the whiskey category, and flavored whiskey kind of took them over the edge. And I know we have a cocktail for you.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You do?
Looks like the berry sour you're about to try.
Right, so how do you, first off, is there any, the wind blew it over. Is there any gauging of the public? Like
celebrities.
Gin was dead, gone, and buried. Like, there was no such thing as gin 20 years ago.
Absolutely.
Gin was some weird cleaning fluid that your grandmother drank, you know. Now it's gin, you know. It's like, and again, rye, even whiskey, like, it was... Is everything just cycle?
It is
cycle. And we should stop making proclamations about how this is dead and gone because it just cycles back again?
I think you start seeing things on TV. Like, I think things like the old fashioned came back because you saw it on movies. You see whiskey coming back. Flavors are an interesting thing because they make it easy for consumers. But yeah, it's a trend thing. Once you see the movies start doing it and TV start doing it, then consumers start to follow. It's like, you know, it's hip when I know when my mom group starts drinking tequila, or when they start drinking peanut butter whiskey, mm-hmm. I know it's slowly become like a new trend because it's translated over.
Nobody sat around and sipped whiskey 20 years ago. You did shots, you were
your
at
grandparents
a pool party.
Did, but you didn't do it.
Oh, I should say tequila. Tequila was like a weirdo. You didn't sip tequila.
No, because it was disgusting back then.
You, like, held your nose, did the lime, lemon, whatever they don't have on Delta, and just did the shot, just sort of pushed through it to catch a buzz. Now there's high-end, top shelf, we're going to enjoy this, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Now, so, it became sexy. It became sexy because celebrities were involved. So we need some celebrities in your Bird Dog.
Let's do it.
John, we're drinking your drink right now. What is this? What am
so
I
that
drinking?
That is a berry sour. Mm-hmm. That is Bird Dog blackberry. We got some raspberry syrup in there. We added some lemon juice and club soda.
And club soda.
Created by yours truly.
Created by me on set at a barbecue shop.
Yeah, we did a wonderful job. Oh, no. John Taffer has to go.
Yeah,
but John, you want to come in?
Come on in, John. We'll get you in here.
We'll wrap up,
right,
and we'll get
right,
it up.
Guys,
yeah, exactly.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you so much, guys.
Absolutely. I should give the website out. Sorry.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
It's all right. You got to get John on. Bye.
All right. He's a heavy hitter. It's John Taffer. Look at him. He's got a hat. He's coming in.
You're on your job.
Have a seat,
John.
Yourself
hugged.
Yes, good to see you, my friend.
How are you, brother?
Good.
Oh,
John Taffer.
I'm sorry,
John
Taffer. 8 o'clock dinner. That's why.
Okay, sorry. Where are you going for dinner? We should know.
I'm going to Cut.
Oh, Cut. Cut's the best.
Yeah, my favorite steakhouse in the city, actually.
I concur completely. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, buddy. Have you had the strip steak, the three different strip steak appetizer there?
No, but now I'm excited.
So what they take a strip steak. One is Wagyu, another is another ranch, and another is another ranch. They cut the center out of it, so it's exactly the same cut. Three different meats. The colors are different. The consistencies are different. It's incredible. It's my favorite steak appetizer in the world, Adam. You got to try it, buddy.
I'm going to. John, you're out here full-time?
Yeah, I live here now.
Where are you at? How far from the Strip are you?
I'm about 12 miles in Summerlin.
And are you? How often you get out to proper Vegas, like the Strip?
Pretty often. I mean, a lot of it is events, but when friends come into town, they all, of course, want to come to the Strip for dinner.
Right.
So I'll come down and see a bunch of friends here. The Frays, for example, Colby and Ashley are dear friends of mine, so if I wasn't here with you, I would have come down to see them today.
I love your story of, like, back in the days of Sunset and rock and roll and whiskey and Gazzaris and the Troubadour and all that. It is kind of crazy. I don't want to sound like I'm high in peyote, but it's like you hang out long enough, who the hell knows where your life's going to end up?
Yeah.
I mean, think about your early life. Like, think about where you were when you were 23 years of age, right? And then think about what has come after that. Could you have ever anticipated that or even dreamt of that?
You know, one of my favorite quotes in the world is Lennon, John Lennon, who said, "Life is what happens when you make other plans."
Right.
But I never thought I'd be on TV, Adam. I never thought I'd be in the entertainment business. I never thought any of these things. Did you? When you were a carpenter, did you ever think this would happen?
No, I was like, my goal was, I'm a carpenter, and I make my living with my hands and my back. Like, I have to move things, I have to swing a hammer, I have to drive a truck. I just want to see if I can get a job where instead of swinging a hammer and doing things with my hands, maybe I could do something with my mind. But it was never in front of the camera or telling jokes. It was like, maybe I could join some... I honestly thought, maybe there's some sort of firm I could join where we wrote funny greeting cards. And I could, like, sit at a table with other people, and they could go, "Mother's Day, funny greeting card." And I could put out some thoughts about a funny greeting card. I never thought about being on a stage or in front of a camera or doing TV shows or podcasts. Obviously, it didn't exist. Like, I didn't have those thoughts. I was just like, I would like to stop getting paid to move stuff and get paid to think of stuff. That's all I had.
Were you good in the beginning, or did you get good?
I was like, in comedy?
Yeah.
Now, I was like, I've brought this up a few times. I was like a good athlete who didn't have a sport. So I was like, yeah, he's athletic. He doesn't know any of the rules, none of the techniques, doesn't know anything about the sport. He's strong, he's good, he's athletic, but he doesn't know anything about the sport. So I was like, I'm athletic, but I don't know what the sport I'm playing in. So that was me at the beginning.
Yeah, it's funny. I would use a similar analogy. When I started TV, I'm in the first bar for Bar Rescue, and I'm walking through the bar, and I'm screaming and yelling at this bar owner because there's cables on the floor and there's video cameras in the wall. It was all of the stuff that my production team had put in. I knew nothing about what I was doing. It was horrifying, actually, those first few episodes. I was terrified.
Yeah, it's really interesting how, well, again, when you talk to kids and you're like, what do you want to do for a living? That should be out the goddamn window.
Yes.
Is there any part of your life that we could have got hold of you when you're 16 and said, what do you want to do for a living? That would have been accurate in any way today?
Yeah.
I mean, where were you at 16?
So at 16, I was on Long Island playing the drums, taking drum lessons, hoping I was going to be a musician. And I moved to California to be a musician and wound up running the Troubadour. And I think I told you the story. One day I was in Doug Weston's house, who owned the Troubadour, and I was booking bands. I was a booker. And one day he says, I hate this place. And he threw the keys across the table and gave me the keys to the Troubadour.
Wow.
And I went there that afternoon and opened it and started running it for him. That's how it happened.
The Troubadour, for, you know, young people listening, is one of the legendary rock venues, I would say, in the world. I wouldn't just say on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah.
Or not on the Sunset Strip, actually on Santa Monica, right?
Oh, yeah. On Santa Monica Boulevard,
right,
in Doheny.
Just below the Sunset Strip, next to Dantana's.
One of my best.
Dantana. Then, well, we're sitting in Las Vegas. Dantana was the name of Robert Urich's character in Vegas, he was called Dantana. I'm sure there's a story there.
And he was a PI, wasn't he? Dantana.
He was a PI in Las Vegas. I remember when I was like 13, I would babysit my neighbors. I would watch Vegas. Dantana, he had a phone in his car.
Very cool.
Big deal. It was a huge deal. But Dantana, and I have some vague memory of somebody going, we named him Dantana because of Dantana's restaurant.
I didn't know that, but it's a great restaurant.
But the restaurant is right next to... Is the Troubadour still going?
Troubadour is still going. It struggled during the pandemic. It almost went down.
Right.
But, you know, it's interesting. I tried to save it with some people last year. We were going to put together a television show on all the history of the Troubadour, right? From the Lenny Bruces to the Jackson Browns. But Doug
Everyone played there.
Doug Weston, who owned the Troubadour, never let anybody video or take any photographs. So
there
is no visual record of any of it. So there's no content. It's incredible.
You know, I've seen the Boston's there. Everyone, Elton John, I think played there back in the day, like Linda Ronstadt. I mean, it just...
The Knack.
the list, it just goes on and on and on. And before to Lenny Bruce, it goes on to stand-up comedians as well.
He got handcuffed there for saying MF, for saying...
Motherfucker.
He got arrested for saying motherfucker on a Troubadour stage in 1963.
Where were you? Well, you weren't there... Yeah,
no, I was 10 years old.
Right. I don't want to age you, but who was the first act or couple acts you saw there?
Oh, boy. You know, when I worked there, it was 79, 80, 81. It was the punk time.
Right.
Saphir was playing. Black Flag was playing. Adam Ant was playing. And then the new wave thing was going on with the Knack and the Plimsolls and the Rubber City Rebels. All that stuff was going on at the same time. But the punk bands were pretty heavy in the Troubadour back then with the Pits.
Yeah, right. They're the mosh pit.
That's right.
Yeah, people don't... There'd be a class action lawsuit against the pit now. But there was a mosh pit, and clubs had seating, and then in the front, they just had standing room, and it turned into a mosh pit.
Yeah.
And they called it a mosh pit. It was this guy throwing elbows. Moving around.
Pogoing.
Throwing elbows. Yeah, pogoing up and down and then side to side with elbows flying. And I know, John, you have to get to your dinner cut. I'm totally jealous of you. What sides do you order?
Oh, I'm going to get a little cream spinach. They have a bone marrow side that's over the top. That's unbelievable.
Oh, bone marrow.
But, you know, we're here talking about whiskey. They have a great thing at Cut, which is they have a whiskey cart that comes up to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a cordial cart, but it's an old-fashioned cart, and there's five or six different levels of whiskey that you can get for your old-fashioned. The most expensive one, I think, is $285 for an old-fashioned. The cheapest one is $80 for the old-fashioned, and it's different brands and ages, but they sell a bunch of them every night, and it's unbelievable when that cart pulls up. Suddenly the $80 doesn't seem so bad, Adam.
Well, I've said it once, I'll say it again. This is why the terrorists hate us.
Well said.
Good to see you, my brother.
Good to see you too, buddy.
We'll see you soon. John Taffer, everybody. All right, we'll bring Dan Dunn back in. We'll bring Gina and Bald are coming back this way.
Want to get the crew back on?
Well, we'll see. Dan Dunn's going to pour me a little whiskey. Why not? We'll catch a buzz, right?
Oh, yeah. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. You know, I talk for a living, Dan.
These headphones are incredibly loud. Is John Taffer deaf? What's going on?
We'll pot them down,
this
as they say.
Incredibly loud.
We'll say in the business.
Adam.
Yeah.
It's going off here in Vegas, man.
I know. I love it.
Yeah.
What a life, right?
This is, you know what? I love coming to Glendale to do the show. Don't get me wrong. Glendale is always a party.
It's the garden spot of the valley.
But I got to say, the view here is a little bit better. Looking out at all these hotels.
We're sitting out on a kind of a balcony, but pool balcony. But we're looking at the Aria Hotel, which has a screen on the side of it. And I don't want to undersell it, but it's 100 feet wide and 300 feet long. Like, what? We're looking at a continuous video screen on the side of a building. Maybe it's 60 wide and 140 long. Like, it's hard to tell from this distance. I do know Bruno Mars is going to be playing there.
December 17th. I'm all
but
over
I mean,
that. Man.
Look at this. Like, it is. I don't think it's projected, right? Like, it's. And is it the hotel we're looking at?
It's just everything's bright. And then right in front of us, we have the Cosmopolitan has their own screen, which I'm going to be on shortly, embarrassing myself. I have to do a live feed shortly. And I'm going to tell you, Adam, I'm not going to lie, I've had a little bit of whiskey.
What?
I've had
you
some
drank?
Whiskey, and I brought you some, my friend, because, you know, we've been talking for 2 minutes here. We haven't had any.
Drank in 3 minutes.
This whiskey that I brought you, and there's so many here, but I've been going around, is the Busker.
Okay, the Busker.
You know I'm an Irishman, Danton,
yep.
The love of sweet soul from Jesus, and I love Irish whiskey.
Thank you.
We've done Irish whiskey on the show before, and as you know, in the latter part of the 20th century, Irish whiskey was in trouble as a category. It was almost gone. And
what
now,
year was it gone?
We're talking about 1990. There were about four commercially available brands of Irish whiskey left, all being made in one distillery in Ireland.
Right.
Now, Irish whiskey is the fastest growing category in the United States. There's about 60 distilleries now in Ireland. Mm-hmm. The Busker is a whiskey that launched during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So you're like, all right, that's probably not the best time for this thing to happen.
Right.
They launch, and then they immediately win double gold at the San Francisco World Spirits Competition. So you know when you go to the store and you see that little thing, that little sticker on the bottle that says, so the San Francisco World...
I don't go to the store.
Send your people.
My people there, but I get it.
So the Busker came out of the gate, and you're wondering what's going to happen, and they're killing it. It's affordable, too. It's like $30 a bottle.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't even know this, but one of the rules in Ireland, Irish whiskey has to have an Irish name. And Busker, we know what a busker is.
It's
a person that performs on the street. When you see a
know that. Yeah, Huey Lewis was a busker.
Was a busker. Yeah, you see people.
Yeah, I didn't know they called it. Yeah, I guess it is busker. Like I've never seen it written, but Huey Lewis was a busker.
Yeah, well, he might be again someday, too. Yeah, no, kidding. I'm joking, Yui. I love you. So, busker is an actual Irish term. That's where it originated. So that's what they named it after, sort of in the spirit of,
So if you go down to the town square and you pull out your guitar and you open the case and you want people to throw a couple of shekels in and you play your busker.
You're a busker.
Yeah. Right.
And that's where the name came from. And, I just like when I see stories, because there's so many brands that come out, and, we've talked about this on the show before, and they don't make it. They just die, and I'm always like, I feel bad. Well, there's some brands that suck, right? They're shit. But I feel bad when brands come, because there's a lot of forces working against you in this business. I mean, again, when you send your assistant to the store to get you, there's a million choices on the shelf. And
right.
It's like, so how do you stand out? One of the things that this brand did that I think is amazing is, not only do you do a blend, they do a single malt, a blend, and a pot still. One of the only distilleries that I know of that do those three different
What's
types.
What's a pot still?
A pot still is the type of still. It looks like a pot. It's a rounded still, copper pot still. It's very Irish. Like most Irish whiskeys are copper pot still. And then, you've seen column stills. Stills, right?
I know what a still is.
I don't know. You don't know what a busker is. So I'm wondering what's going on here.
No, I remember. Yeah. It's, again, busker sort of semi-newish to me, but I never really thought about it as it pertained to whiskey. But, yeah, then it all comes back to me with Huey Lewis, and we got it.
Yeah.
So, pot still.
Pot still. 44.3% alcohol, because I know that matters to you. You like to know what the 88.6 proof.
I'm a guy who has race cars. And race cars, when you get the race fuel, it can be, so standard octane is 87, 80, I'm trying to think, 86, 80, 87 for sort of regular, right? Then there's like 91 for high octane. Then the turbo cars I drive are like 116. So I sort of like the octane stuff. Like I sort of like, and I feel the same way about alcohol. Like, you know, there's 80%, 80 proof, 40 alcohol. Like the high octane stuff.
Well, I feel like you, my experience with you drinking has been, and I think it's because we have similar backgrounds, which we both grew up fucking poor, right?
Yeah.
So like, you're like, hey man, if I'm going to drink this,
right,
I want to get as much octane out of this as I can get. But not be, you don't want it if it's like, if the alcohol blows you away, right? If it's too much. Although I'd probably still drink it. Yeah,
nah, like, you would. Like, we would.
Just add a little bit of water to
yeah.
it. That's all. You water
right.
it down a little bit. But
yeah, your tear up, that'll fall into the glass and you'll be fine.
I get you. And it's funny because people ask me this when I do the show. I go, Adam doesn't really do that thing where he doesn't want to dump anything out. Because when we do the show, we're drinking. So I'll pour stuff and Gina and Brian and Adam, I all drink it. And Adam gets visibly upset if I pour too much because then he feels like he's got to dump it. And so you pour it all in one glass, and I said, no, they really do that. But does anybody drink it when you do that?
Oh, yeah. I make sure Chris drinks it.
Chris drinks it.
Yeah, I make sure everyone drinks it. I don't like throwing away food and especially booze. All right, Dan, wait, you have more whiskey to try here?
I do. I have several other brands, some more older legacy brands here as you... No, I don't have a dump cup. Oh, do I have a dump cup here? Oh, here it goes. Look at him. He's getting all mad.
The dump cup is called your liver, Dan.
Hey, man. I have
Thank
to keep
you,
it together.
Thank you, Dawson. Dawson's what? Dawson was ordered. Dawson was getting... What'd you get at the airport?
I started the day with a Triple Maker's...
Triple Maker's Budweiser.
Budweiser.
I was just ordering... Dawson was getting drunk at the airport. We didn't even get here yet.
It's called show prep.
Show prep.
Show
Sorry.
Prep. So we're gonna go into some Doers here, which we've had on the show before.
Yes.
This is the Doers Caribbean Smooth. It's aged 8 years, right? I like to say it's not your grandfather's scotch, because you think about
right.
Doers, right? I'm assuming your dad and my
yeah,
dad.
My
all,
fucking pussy dad
yeah,
never
that
had
guy,
a shot
here we
of
go.
Whiskey in his
so
entire
the,
life.
The Caribbean Smooth is aged in... rum casks, yeah, right? And
is that why it's Caribbean?
That's what it'd be, a rum cask finish. 8 years old. Let's take a sip of this, because I like to get your, right?
Yeah, it's smooth. It's very
right?
smooth, right.
Easy to
Got
drink.
Got a little vanilla in it.
Well, that's coming from the rum cask, yeah.
Right,
absolutely.
Right.
And
how much a bottle?
How much is this a bottle? $25... By the way, I'm asking my my internal clock. Hold on a second. How much is that internal clock? $25 a bottle.
It's good a price.
Now, Doers is a blended whiskey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the things is, I think with scotch, people get this idea in their brains. It's like, oh, if it's not single malt, it's not, you know, that's bullshit. That
right.
is actually bullshit. I actually think some of the best scotches you can get are blended scotches. I mean, of course, we all know, like, Johnny Blue, this. But Doers makes... some of the best blended scotch, because what they're doing is they're picking from here and here and here and here and coming up with that just that perfect blend.
Yeah, I think people get a little highfalutin with their, you know, single malt and single this and not blend that. And they don't even know what the fuck they're talking about.
Like, do you care? Do you care when you go in?
No, it's like when you drive down PCH, you see these 50-year-old jack-offs, like fat guys, are riding a Specialized mountain bike, and it's $8,000. Like, that fat douche fuck doesn't even know how to ride that bike. It's like, but they go like, oh, it's carbon titanium, you know what I mean? But they don't know how, they don't know what they're doing.
Adam,
I agree. Good is good, bad is bad, whatever the fuck.
I want to quiz you, because we've done enough scotch, and most of the scotch has happened, originated around the same time. When do you think Doers was established?
It was 1822.
Very close, a little bit higher.
1848.
1846.
Oh, damn, I overshot it.
Wow. And you know the other thing about Doers is great? You can drink it straight from the bottle like this. Watch, here we go.
I predict yours will be done in the next 14
well, here's the
months.
Thing. If you drink it straight from the bottle, then there's no waste in
right.
the cup. You have
You're
no
right,
waste. Right.
You got the film on the cup.
You got it right there. I mean, you know, it is a pandemic, so I wouldn't recommend it to people at home. But, you know, we're all friends here.
I don't want to get too weird and philosophical, but like you're like Dewar's 1846.
1846, yeah.
Right. Vegas, this whole place wasn't here 70 years ago.
No.
Like, it wasn't here. And, you know, we always hear this thing where it's like, we're young, modern, like modern. It's not modern. 500 years from now, people are going to look at us as the oldest fucks on the planet.
Yeah.
And this shit that didn't exist now exists. Like, it's crazy how fast it's progressed. Like, we're looking around. We're looking at skyscrapers all lit up, LED, you know, screens, images everywhere. You don't realize that this... My dad is 90. My dad was born in, like, 1931 or something. He wasn't here. He was born 20 years. None of this shit existed. It's crazy, right? Like, we do this thing. It was like, Chris, you think you're young? You're old as fuck. You're dead. You're gone. No one cares about you. Here's my point. This shit that we think is, like, brand new, it's over. It's done. Like, we're here at the beginning of it. It didn't exist. What year were you born, Max Bata?
85.
You know what this place looked like in 85? And what the fuck is it going to look like 100 years from now? It's going to be insane, right?
I don't know. I'm going to be dead.
All right.
Yeah. I'm going to be gone. I mean, I know that's sad for you to ponder my death, Adam.
I picture you with your VR goggles on. I'm just...
With my dick in my hand.
Dick in your hand. Just pulling a sheet over your face. He died doing what he loved.
The dog is eating my feet because it's been starving for a couple of weeks. Yeah. All right.
The neighbors notice the smell.
We've heard this growling and it stinks. Oh, yeah. Dan's dog ate half his body.
Yes, dog.
And all right. So now we got Aberfeldy, which is a Highland single malt scotch. You know, been around. I'm going to let you guess this one.
1871.
1898 on the Aberfeldy. This is one of my favorites, man. And I just was over there at the booth here at the Whiskey X. There's a ton of people in line digging this one. This is a 12-year-old single malt scotch whiskey. Adam Kroll, what's your tasting notes on this?
All right, let me try this. Sorry. Mm. I love the bottle.
And so the bottle, everybody, it's a squat bottle. It's a little squat. It kind of looks like a fire plug, you know, like a it's round and thick and it's got a lot of heft to it.
I think you took fire hydrant and butt plug and turned it into one thing.
Yeah.
We're going fire hydrant or butt plug, but not fire plug.
Yeah, this one it's handmade.
It's beautiful. Squatty.
Yeah, well, Dewar's, by the way, built the Aberfeldy distillery.
Mm.
So I'm keeping it in the family here, Adam. Tasting notes? Whoa.
Well, it is rich. It is substantial. It is not smooth and sweet. It is like, this is whiskey.
I'm getting honey. I'm getting citrus on that. Like, I'm getting the honey and the citrus are the two.
It's good, but it's real.
Yeah.
It's not for 23-year-old chicks.
No, this is a whiskey. And again, it's the same thing as Dewar's. I think these are, if you're a serious whiskey drinker, right, this is what you're doing. You're not fucking around with, you know, the newfangled stuff. This is what I like, is I like classic. I like to have these kind of bottles behind my bar. Because I think it's, you know, I'm a traditionalist, as you know, Adam. Except for the VR porn goggles. Yeah. But, you know, but I used to jack off to Playboy, like everybody else.
Yeah, old school.
I used to have a magazine. And
I'm with you. All right. So, yeah, very good, very traditional. All right, Dan Dunn.
I got one more.
Oh, one more.
And this one's a little unique.
All right.
Right here. All right, so... A couple of, I don't know, like 2 months ago, I got to have lunch with a guy from India. named Paul John. Paul John is making whiskey in India, and he is making the most popular and the best.
Making whiskey in India.
Yeah. Well, why do I have to open this? Couldn't anybody open this for me? What's going on the Adam Carolla Show? Where's the opener?
Yeah. We're going to have to.
Shouldn't there be an opener?
Yeah. Right.
Heads need to roll here
in
Vegas.
Yeah, you're right. We got to reshuffle the deck when we get back to LA.
The whiskey we're about to have isn't even out yet. Mm. It's coming out in November. It's their Christmas edition, 2021, the fourth one that they're doing. It's aged in ex-bourbon barrels, finished in tawny port casks. You know,
tawny?
You love tawny, like
what's
tawny
Catane.
Tawny? Yeah, tawny port, T-A-W-N-Y, like tawny Catane.
Mm-hmm.
Peated vintage port and Madeira cask. So they're aging them in a bunch of different Portuguese wine barrels, basically.
Thank
a little
you.
Bit of peat on that, a little hint of peat.
Mm-hmm.
I know you like to know what the stuff costs, but I want you to try it first, and because you're pretty good at this. Adam is kind of an ace, no pun intended, at telling me what stuff costs.
Wow, it's interesting. I would say, weirdly, it's like taking a sip out of a steakhouse.
Ooh,
it's
I like got, that.
It's
I
got
like
smoky, interesting, you know, meaty, protein-y.
Well, what's funny is it, you know, I was thinking a hint of peat, but the peat's pretty... It's in there, right? You're getting that.
It's in there, yeah.
What do you think this costs?
$80.
Holy shit. Dude, you're on tonight. You are on. 85.
85.
You're on your game. You're on your game.
I didn't include tax.
Have you gambled yet today? Because you're fucking on fire, man. You are on fire. So, Paul John, I think it's just, you know, here's, you know.
Wait, out of Korea? Where
no,
are we?
India. Out of India.
India.
So
sorry.
What I also think is really cool, especially with your home bar, is I think it's important to stock your home bar with shit that's going to make your friends feel bad when they come over.
Right.
Like, oh, I don't have.
Right.
What's that?
Right.
Oh, well, that's India. You know. Don't know about that, you idiot. You know. So I like to have shit on my bar that makes people feel jealous. Like, why don't I know about this?
Right.
And now you have it. We're going to leave that bottle with you.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's a good one.
All right. Dan Dunn. Let me try to... we got who? What? We got Gina Ball Bryan coming back next. We'll work it out. All right. Dan, thank you.
Wait, I thought I'm staying.
Oh,
am I staying or am
no,
I leaving?
Stay.
I'm saying I'm gone.
Yeah, we can have Dan stay. We got mics and everything for everybody. We'll bring back Brian and Gina.
Look at everybody. By the way, can I ask you a question, Adam?
Mm-hmm.
When we're doing shows, so when we do our segments, we only drink for a portion of it.
Right.
Clearly, we've been drinking this entire evening because we're at the Whiskey
right.
X.
Yeah.
Do you like these shows better when you have a nice buzz going? Or
yes.
You do? Okay. I'm just wondering. I like them.
I
the audience
concur.
Is like, what the fuck's going on? But we like this.
I just got called out for sipping, so I had to down that pretty quick.
Are you going to get dragged? Like your headphone cord looks like it's pulling you back.
Yeah, I was told to just not move too much.
Okay, don't move. All right.
All right, Gina.
Yeah.
Do we do news here?
Oh, fuck. What a great idea.
I mean, if you want. Dawson, will you get my laptop?
Would you guys like some whiskey? Would you like some whiskey?
Read
Chris's notes.
Well, there's more whiskey coming.
That's what it says.
According to Chris.
It says on his laptop. That's great.
Well, we can do news,
I got it.
Right?
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
The only thing worse than this is when we're done this, as I said, I have to do 45 minutes live. That giant screen that Adam was talking about,
yeah.
I'm going to be on it. So this is the end of my...
Oh, it's going to be a shit show,
the end
Dan.
Of my career is about to happen in front of 2,000 people at the Whiskey X in Vegas. It's going to be...
Oh, it's going to be a disaster.
Great.
Gina, call back to earlier. Can you see what the little tagline is beneath Shania Twain?
Yeah. Let's go!
Let's go! It says let's go.
Boys and girls.
So you think you're Brad Pitt. That don't impress me much.
Any good whiskeys here?
I feel like
oh, we got... Yeah, man. Get in it. I think you're going to like this. Try the Paul John.
What bourbons do you like best? Just point.
None of these are bourbons. That's Scotch.
All right,
Scotch,
Gina,
yeah.
Do the news
okay.
If you have it.
I mean, I have some. Let's do
all right.
It. Hey, so remember the other day we were talking about coffee and all the shitty, like, decaf and hazelnut that nobody wants.
Right.
Well, this is going to anger you, so I'm glad you have a drink in front of you. There's something called the un-coffee, and if 7-Up is called the un-cola, then Atomo, A-T-O-M-O, coffee is the un-coffee. It's a company called Compound Foods. It's out with a new ready-to-drink coffee beverage that contains no coffee at all. What's it made out of, you say? 98% upcycled ingredients from plant waste.
Ew.
Things like extracts of date seed,
chicory root,
grape skin, processed, roasted, ground, and brewed, supposedly tastes just like coffee and even contains caffeine, but it ain't coffee.
Well, so people may remember the un-cola. So
right.
There's a whole thing with 7-Up.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the whole thing was like the un-cola,
yeah,
man. It had the bald guy from...
I don't remember.
007.
Oh, James Blofeld? Bond. Ned,
yeah,
Blofeld? Donald Pleasance?
No, not Donald Pleasance. Black guy.
Terry Savalas?
Oh.
No, not Telly.
Terry.
No, I know.
Telly.
Telly's brother.
No, there was a black guy.
From Live and Let Die?
Yeah, it was like un-cola.
He was in the one that was down in the Caribbean.
For Live and Let Die.
Right, it was like the un-cola man.
Jungle.
So it was a whole sort of un-cola ad with 7-Up. Which is, we're not cola, we're 7-Up.
Right, we're un-cola.
Right.
Un-cola.
Right.
So listen, nobody's going to drink this.
Listen, the people that are making coffee that's not made of coffee, they deserve to have something bad happen to them. I'm sorry.
No,
You can't mess with coffee. Coffee's perfect as it is. Who wakes up and goes, ooh, I want to have a nice refreshing cup of coffee. If only this coffee didn't have any fucking coffee in it. Right?
The world's most popular beverage.
This is basically compost.
Yeah. Right.
What's the postum?
Postum.
Compostum.
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 Still got it.
All right, I really want you to be careful should you end up in Denmark. If you exceed the speed limit in Denmark, getting a speeding ticket, least of your problems. The new law on the books is aimed at curbing reckless driving, and they confiscate your car right on the road if you're driving too fast.
In Denmark?
Yes. In one encounter, cops in Copenhagen caught a driver going 147 miles an hour. Under the law, they took the car. Happens to be a $310,000 Lamborghini Urucan. The confiscated cars are then put up for auction.
Wow.
You don't even get it back.
All right. So here's the deal, Huracan. It's like, all right, so here's the thing. Shouldn't everything just be case by case?
You think
like,
so.
It'd be nice.
You're going down the highway, like, are you speeding? Are you not speeding? Well, is it dangerous? What are you driving?
Yeah.
All right, I've been drinking.
Settled.
By the way, just a quick interlude here. I'm going to pour you a little bit more whiskey.
Thank you.
This is a 5-year-old Ardbeg.
Ooh.
Thank you.
And so one very quick note on this, if you don't mind me interrupting here, is we look at the age statement, right? Nobody wants anything under 10 years old, which I think is amazing that Ardbeg does this because they think the sweet spot for this whiskey, which is that we, Beastie, is 5 years, right?
Right.
A lot of brands won't do that. They would do a non-age statement whiskey instead. But Ardbeg has balls, and they went, you know what?
Wow.
5-year-old is where we want to be.
Woo!
That's where our age is, right?
That gets you where you live.
So, Gina, you remember we've talked about Islay, which is where the peatiest scotches are.
Yes.
So Ardbeg is the Ardbeg's the peatiest scotch in the world. All their main core, they have between 55 and 65 ppm.
Oh, my.
Which is the finale? Yeah, right.
I don't think Brian's man.
No,
enough
I
for
love
this.
It. It's just it's. It's
oh
it's
man,
very smoky.
Did you get any of this yet?
Yes.
It's a statement piece.
Because I really want to give you more whiskey. Hold on, let me give you this Glenmorangie X.
Wow.
By the way, another new one.
Oh, I thought that was a Chardonnay or
this
a rosé.
No, it does. Looks like it right here. I'm going to give that to Ace. That's the Glenmorangie X.
Okay, I'm drunk, but here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying.
Yes, listen, everybody.
It's either safe or it's not safe, right?
Right.
You have a car. The car goes to speed. Oh, my God. Sorry, the wind blew over my...
The wind is
drunk.
All right. Here's the fucking deal.
Chris goes through laptops
You're either safe or you're not safe. Yeah. Like, what are we doing with 65? 65, like, 65
saves
is from
lives,
like,
dude.
It's from 1965.
Yeah. Before the seatbelt.
It's before the seatbelt, before the airbags, before the crumpled zones, before the
anti-lock brakes.
Thank you very much.
Lane assist.
It's all there now. Like, just fucking let people drive and decide whether it's dangerous or not.
Can I say something? If you were to drive right now, it would be dangerous.
Yes,
I'm going to say that right now.
Yeah, it would.
In the dangerous thing. Yeah. Right. Well, I'm just saying. Me too. I've been around. I've been doing the whiskey exercise. Like, yeah.
We're walking.
It's Vegas.
Yes, I agree.
Nobody drives in Vegas.
You know what I think you guys are going to need after this party?
Yes.
A ball bath. So a German industrial design student has created a device that could be the future of male contraception. It's called the testicle bath.
Oh, I like you're like bathing in balls. You're actually bathing your balls.
It's a ball bath.
Gina,
yeah.
Can you talk? Can you lower your voice a little more sultry when you talk about this? Yeah. Just sorry.
It's a cup that you fill with water and allow heat to heat up to a comfortable temperature. Then you dip your balls in and allow ultrasonic waves to zap your berries, which effectively makes your sperm ineffective.
I am uncomfortable.
So the contraceptive effect from the ball bath is said to last about 6 months, at which point your sperm will start reproducing again, and then you go for another dip in the ball bath.
Is it warm? Sorry, I missed that part.
Yeah, it's warm.
Usually in this case, keep it cold, right?
Well, this is ultrasonic waves, so you're probably like microwaving it. Then you're sterile for 6 months.
That used to be my pickup line. Do you want to go for a dip in the ball bath?
That's hot.
How many NBA players are going to do this?
never worked for me. Yeah.
Dan, you should get married, right?
Oh, my God.
Hey, we're just here because we love you, man.
We're in Vegas. We can do it tonight.
Wait, is this an intervention?
A lot of good, right? Get married.
I would like to. Yeah, I would like. You know what? There's a lot of women here that I'd like to marry. Really is. Gina, can you help me?
Yeah.
I need a wing woman.
You really do.
You are a good wing woman.
You know what I am? You know why? Because I'm good at vouching. Like, I normalize the situation. I've done it many times.
Okay.
Tell me about vouching, Gina.
So I had this friend, kind of a rough around the edges, kind of a dirty dude. And whenever he would meet a girl, he would introduce me right away to make him seem normal, make him seem more approachable. And it worked every time.
I think girls need that. Perspective dates.
Do you think I seem threatening without you?
Not threatening, but kind of a player.
What?
Yeah.
Roguish man about
what you're talking about.
Roguish. That's good.
Roguish.
I will sort of stabilize the situation so she's not like thinking that you're just a one and done. One and done!
Wow.
Gina.
One and done.
How would you sell Dan?
I don't really have to do anything. I want to
hear this. If you had a friend and you're going to introduce me to your friend.
All right.
How would you describe me to your friend?
Okay, girl, listen. You've got to meet Dan. He's very good looking, easy on the eyes, has a great head of hair. He knows everything about mixology. He's super nice, funny. I think he's a writer. He's the whole package. Like, he's a really solid dude.
Souls.
Oh, and hung like a baby leg.
Yeah. Okay.
From foot to belly button.
I feel like he could sell me a little harder, though. No.
See, that's where you don't know what you're doing, Dan.
Oh.
I'm not supposed to. It's not a full court press.
You're saying women want you to be a little more subtle.
Chill.
Okay. All right.
I know what I'm doing. I'll get you laid tonight. Don't worry.
All right.
Married. Whatever Adam wants.
Why do you want me to get married, Adam, by the way?
No, I don't.
You did 3 minutes ago.
No, just kind of curious, like, what would the sell be for Dan?
Being married. Well, here's the thing. I've resisted it thus far. Mm-hmm. I can say this. When I was at your wedding, there was a moment when you were exchanging vows. And then even when Adam got up and gave that brilliant speech
Lovely speech.
And I thought to myself, oh, I would like to have this experience myself, but what happens the next day? Because then you're married. Like, it's like, all right, well, if I can
Rub.
just if I could have the wedding, yeah, and like Adam comes up and gives a fucking speech and everybody laughs and it's brilliant.
Knocks it out of the park.
I cried a little bit at your wedding when you got up. I'm like, I'm so emotional. And then the next day I was like, that poor son of a bitch. And I love you, but I was like, that poor son of a bitch. He's stuck now. He's trapped.
Is stuck.
It's
yes.
over.
Oh, second marriage. He knew what he was getting into.
Second. You, how many? You one?
How yeah. dare you? Oh.
Just one?
Me? Yes, just one. Yes.
You seem happy-ish. You seem happy-ish.
Happy adjacent.
But you are often calling me and asking me for drinking advice.
Quite often.
I'm wondering how happy your marriage is. At least 3 or 4 times a week, Brian will text me like, hey, man, I'm out. I'm getting shit-faced. What
how
should
I do
I be drinking?
Way, yeah.
And so I don't know.
That's 100% true. And then there's other times where I'll ask you, maybe it's a little too pointed, but it's like, what will make me forget that I'm in this hell? And I just give me a, you know, good quality, but, you know, what'll...
It's a different drink.
By the way, All right.
Oh, my God.
What's on the...
Jamie Foxx?
Yeah, Jamie Foxx.
Why is Jamie Foxx the face of MGM Sportsbook?
So we're looking across the aisle.
Feels fairly random.
And we're seeing crazy stuff. All right.
Okay, so let's talk your other favorite drink, the nectar of the you-know-whos. Mountain Dew drinkers will soon have
yes.
a new way to do the dew, the Mountain Dew Spark flavor. It's described as dew with a berry blast of raspberry lemonade.
Thank God.
It's returning early next year nationwide. This time around, PepsiCo is also introducing a zero sugar version, the same flavor. There's also a new seasonal version of Mountain Dew dropping just in time for the holidays, the gingerbread snapped flavor. It blends classic citrus with
gingerbread.
Gingerbread Mountain Dew.
Oh. All right.
Let me bring this back to the coffee thing.
Okay.
When I say the coffee. I like Mountain Dew. I've always liked Mountain Dew. The people that are doing this shit to the Mountain Dew, they should be punished for this. Because who the fuck woke up and said, Mountain Dew, which is perfect, everybody likes Mountain Dew, let's fuck it up and put ginger snaps in it. And what was the other one?
Fucking...
berry.
Yeah.
Berry. You don't eat berries.
Dan, did you know they had a Mountain Dew and like Flaming Hot Cheeto flavor?
I hate the world. I really hate the world.
He doesn't like his beautiful Mountain Dew bastardized.
Bring it home,
Gina, can I say one very quick thing? As we're looking up at that screen, we see the fits and the tantrums about the player, Whiskey X. I have to tell a story. Adam at a party in Malibu. Fits and the tantrums played. They were on stage. I was being an asshole. Hard to believe. But I went up and I said to my friend, I want to get a picture in front of Fits and the Tantrums while they're performing. So I went and stood right in front. Is his name Fitz? I guess, is he Fitz?
The same
Fitz.
Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, so I stood in front of him, and I was going like this. I had my hands up in the air because I wanted my friend to take the picture, and the guy from Fitz and the Tantrums kicked me in the back.
Repeat.
I'm doing it again. I'm going in.
Brian, if you tell me you were invited to that party, I'm going to throw myself off this balcony.
I was sadly no presence.
All right.
I'm Gina Grant, and that's the news.
There you go.
Woo.
All right. So, Fitz and the Tantrums are going to be playing. Dan's not going to be on stage.
Dan's opening.
He's going to do a tight 10.
Okay, so...
you know what I had about whiskey?
Thank you guys for tuning in. We're drinking whiskey.
Salud.
If you want to follow Dan Dunn, what we're drinking with Dan Dunn is the name of the podcast. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Right.
Adam Savage, we're Art Beck.
Until next time, it's Adam Carolla with Dan Dunn and Gene Radden, Bob Ryan, saying...
Mahalo!
You can follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Check out Gina Grad on the podcast Easy Listening, Bald Brian on the Film Vault, the rest of us on the water cooler. I've been drinking since noon. I'm doing pretty good. Get your tickets to see the Ace Man at AdamCarolla.com.